Did you know that 69% of people profess to be bad at writing love letters? But among those who filter their tap water, more than 80% say they can't write a good love note.
That's just one of more than 1,100 weird and surprising and seemingly random correlations from the website correlated.org.
If you've ever wondered about the connections between seemingly unrelated things, like whether people who like marshmallows in their hot chocolate also prefer sprinkles on their ice cream cones, and whether apartment dwellers are more or less likely to read comic books, you're about to find the answers.
With us now is Sean Gallagher. He's founder of the website correlated.org. His new book is Correlated, Surprising Correlations Between Seemingly Unrelated Things. Sean, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So where did you get the idea to start correlating weird, random things?
Well, I've always sort of had this idea that maybe there might be these hidden correlations between things that we wouldn't think to associate with one another. And I thought to myself, you know, if nobody's ever going to dig into these things, because you just don't know what's going to correlate with what, maybe we could just start collecting the data and see what happens. So sort of as a joke or a tongue-in-cheek sort of project, I started the website correlated.org. And the way it works is every day there's a new poll question posted. And people come in and they give their responses to the daily poll question. And at the end of the day, I take all of those responses and I compare them to the responses of all previous poll questions. And I find the two that have the strongest correlation, and I post a little statistic about it on the website. And all the material from the book Correlated, comes from that data set. It's a massive data set that I've collected over the past 3 years. And, you know, not only even people who have been with the website since day one, they're going to find plenty of new stuff in the book, because the way I did it with the book is, instead of comparing each poll question to everything that came before it, I had the ability to compare it not only to what came before it, but what came after. So it's all new data crunching, and I've generated a whole bunch of really weird and interesting statistics.
And there may be statisticians out there sharpening their statistics knives. You're not presenting this as hard science, but as interesting tidbits and kind of conversation starters. Am I right?
That's right. Yeah, I think the average person with a background in statistics is either going to love it or hate it. If they love it, they're in on. If they love it, they're in on the joke. They understand that this isn't going to stand up to scientific scrutiny. If they hate it, they're just going to hate it because it's not sound science. But that's not what it's intended to be. Just what you said, it's conversation starters. It's the sort of thing where you can leave on a coffee table and, you know, have some friends over and talk about some of these strange statistics. Maybe talk about, you know, you might take a look at a statistic like 42% of people carry around a pocket knife, but among those who have broken a bone, 52% carry around a pocket knife. And you might ask, well, why is that? Obviously, not every correlation has anything to do with causation, but some correlations do. So this is a way to start a conversation about what might be going on in the background to explain the correlation.
So here's one. I flipped through the book and pulled out some that I liked. Chicken pox. So among everybody who went on your survey, 39% of people say they have an above average libido. But for those who haven't had chicken pox, 69% say they have an above average libido. Well, that sets you to thinking a little bit about the long term impact of chicken pox, maybe.
Right. And I have no idea whether chicken pox actually affects the libido, but it is kind of fun to think about what if it did, you know, what could explain all of this. And it's led to a lot of interesting conversations just as I've been running the site with people coming up with different possibilities and different explanations.
And trying to come up with, yeah, pet theories for why that correlation might be.
Exactly.
So what are some that have struck you as the most surprising or weirdest correlations you've come across?
I've had a bit of time to think about that over the past 3 years, and there's one that I've always kind of chuckled about. I did a poll pretty early on with the website about people's opinions about breast implants, whether they, you know, have positive feelings about them or negative. And one that I got a kick out of was that people who have run a marathon or are interested in running one are more likely than the average person to have a positive opinion about breast implants. So I don't know what's going on in these runners' heads, but it certainly seems, if you believe the data, that they have a wider open mind than the average person.
Yeah, and then you start thinking, okay, is there something about actually running marathons that changes your mind, makes you think a different way, or is there something inherent that leads you to both run a marathon and think in that different way?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of different explanations about why these correlations could be so. One of the things that I talk about in a sidebar in the book is the concept of a confounding variable. Mm. And that's sort of a hidden cause of both things. Like you were saying, it's one cause of both attributes in the correlation. And one of the simplest examples of a confounding variable is one statistic that's often trotted out to show how absurd correlations can be is that in the summertime, both incidents of drowning and ice cream sales rise. Now, obviously, ice cream sales don't cause drownings. Drownings don't cause ice cream sales. The confounding variable is that it's hot out and people are more likely to eat ice cream and more likely to go swimming when the weather rises. So that's just one way to explain what's going on behind the scenes with this data. But there's all sorts of different possibilities. Some of the correlations have, you can make a stronger case for causation than others.
Well, here's another weird one that maybe I can explain, or maybe you can. In general, 29% of people like Robin Williams better when he's in a serious role than in a funny role. So Robin Williams, serious, better, 29% of people think that. But for people who don't enjoy popping bubble wrap, that goes up to 50%. Those bubble wrap non-poppers are more likely to like serious Robin Williams. That one makes sense to me. They're, you know, they approach the world more seriously. Bubble wrap has a function. I take that function seriously, and when I want to see Mork in serious roles, not cracking wise. That one kind of adds up, don't you think?
I agree completely with that analysis, and I think just sticking with that one particular statistic. I think that over time, the Robin Williams thing has popped up with several different poll questions being highly correlated. And in almost all of them, it's exactly as you say. It seems like people who just take life more seriously are more likely to prefer Robin Williams in dramatic roles. And he's very good at both. But yeah, they're more likely to prefer him in the more serious stuff.
We're talking about the surprising correlations between seemingly unrelated human behaviors with Sean Gallagher. He's the founder of the website correlated.org. His new book is called Correlated.
And we want to hear from you. Do you have a question for our guests, maybe about how these statistics come about and how to make use of them in everyday life if you can? Our number, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org.
And would you rather see Robin Williams in a serious movie or a comedy? And does that fact tell us something about you? 800-642-1234 is the number.
We're talking about the strange connections between seemingly unrelated things with Sean Gallagher, founder of the website correlated.org and author of the book Correlated, Surprising Correlations Between Seemingly Unrelated Things.
And you can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Do you do the surveys at correlated.org? Why? Do you have fun doing those? Have you checked them out online? And do you have a question about these correlations, maybe about the statistics behind them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page where we put a link to correlated.org. Sean, it's a big data era. A lot of the big companies, your Facebooks, Target, everybody's trying to collect lots of data. You've got lots of data. Are marketers banging down your door trying to get their hands on what you're collecting there?
No, the type of data that I collect is probably not going to be too useful to those online marketers. I actually, my day job, I work as a software programmer for one of those companies that uses big data in more rigorous ways. So I have a little bit of experience working with that kind of stuff, but there are a couple of problems with my data set from an online marketer's perspective. So for instance, the people who respond to my polls are self-selected, and that can introduce a selection bias. People who are, for instance, the audience skews young, are technologically savvy. And so if you're working for a traditional retailer where the demographic is older, not very tech savvy, the data that I get is not really going to be very useful to you. But it is a great way to find out both the strengths and the limitations of big data.
Well, I want to get back to some of these surprising correlations. Here's one I thought was interesting. 56% of us, a little more than half, don't have a strong preference for a particular Monopoly game piece. I like the Battleship, but, you know, Top Hat I can live with, the dog maybe. But among people who floss regularly, 71% don't care which Monopoly piece they get. Explain that one if you dare, Sean.
I do have a hypothesis about that, and it's that people who floss regularly are sort of like the Robin Williams serious people. They pay attention to detail. They maybe aren't very don't really have much of a funny bone, and I just don't see those types of people being as likely to be Monopoly enthusiasts. So they probably don't care what piece they get. That's my hypothesis, but I really, I understand that there's so many different ways that you can explain
it. Oh, sure. Sure. No, I think the fun part is coming up with the explanation. I mean, this could be a party game. Here's another good correlation, professional wrestling. So 47% of people say acquaintances would describe them as soft-spoken. So about half of us say, yeah, my friends say I'm soft-spoken. But for people who like professional wrestling, only about a quarter say acquaintances would describe them as soft-spoken. That's kind of easy to explain, I would think. If we've learned to talk from our favorite professional wrestlers, that would make sense, Sean, I think.
Right, and I've watched plenty of professional wrestling, and the people you get out in the crowds are not quiet people.
Right. Okay, so that's an easy one. That adds up pretty well. Are there any that have just really baffled you, like being, you know, again, understanding that it's not scientific statistics, but one that really seemed counterintuitive to you?
There have been a few, not necessarily counterintuitive, but I've just been kind of at a loss to explain it. One of them that I feature in the book is that people who cut the fabric tags off of their clothing are more likely than the average person to have ridden on a motorcycle. And I guess I would have thought that it would be the reverse. People who are out riding on motorcycles are tough people who, you know, not a lot bothers them. And I would think that they would be less likely to worry about a little tiny fabric tag. But maybe that is their Achilles heel. Maybe just that tiny little fabric tag is almost like the princess and the pea, where, you know, it's just that one little nagging thing that gets to you.
Ruins you on a long ride. Or maybe it's aerodynamics. That little tag flapping in the breeze, yeah. Well, here's, speaking of tough people, 67% of people, 2 in 3, know how to tie a necktie. Among those who have been in a fist fight, 82% know how to tie a necktie. Now, that seemed counterintuitive to me at first. You think, you know, people who wear ties are not getting in fights. But is this a gender thing, maybe?
I think it's a gender thing. I think people who I think men are more likely to both know how to tie a tie and to get into fistfights.
So how often do you see a correlation? You've been doing this for a long time that really describes you, Sean. Like, yep, that fits me.
Well, I have the advantage of being able to choose the poll questions that get posted. So sometimes I will select a poll question that I really want to answer. Actually, the poll question that's up on the website right now asks whether people are a fan of the band Paramore. I've heard their stuff on the radio lately, and I thought it was pretty good. So I wanted to answer yes to that question and see what it might say about me. Because really, I'm just as in the dark as everybody else until I actually crunch the data and find out what the correlations are.
It's a voyage of self-discovery. Sean, if people are listening and want to play at home, can anybody go to correlated.org and start taking polls, or is this invitation only?
Oh, no. Anybody can go. Anybody can answer the poll question. Now, the important thing for how we generate the data is to be able to track people's responses over time to make correlations. So to see what they said yesterday and see how it compares to what they said today. So what generally happens is when you answer the first poll question, you'll be prompted to register with just an email address, and that'll allow us to track the responses over time. You can also sign up to get a daily email newsletter with the results of the previous day's poll question. So even if you don't visit the website, you can just get this daily results email and stay in the loop.
Sean, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
That's Sean Gallagher. He's the founder of the website correlated.org. We've got a link on the Central Time Facebook page if you want to start filling out the polls. His new book is Correlated: Surprising Correlations Between Seemingly Unrelated Things.